أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon His noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. For the last 3 days or so, we've been discussing in quite a lot of detail the role, the function, the responsibilities of the father, and understanding how vital and important it is for the father to actually spend time with his children, to be at home with his children, to realize and to appreciate the stages that are going through and the changes that are happening within the home, and for him to be there to support his family, for him to be there to support the development of his children. And the less time that he spends, then the further away he will be from his children. And the closer that he is, the stronger the bond will be. And therefore, they will come to him, they will build a trust, a relationship and rapport with him. And inshallah al-aziz, this strengthened and strong relationship will benefit both of them in the near future as well as in the distant future. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to understand and appreciate the important values that he has embedded within the family structure. Coming on to today's inshallah al-aziz, as you know, this is the 10 days of Ramadan. They are the days of mercy, and we are about to complete the 10 days of Ramadan. So it's very important for us to reflect upon how merciful we've been to ourselves, and also how merciful we've been to our family members, whether it's your brother, your sister, your cousins, but more importantly, how merciful you have been to your parents. For those who have parents who are still alive, know that they are a great source of blessing, a great source of rahmah, a great source of support and protection for you whilst you are alive. And ask those people who no longer have their parents with them, and they will tell you about this great emptiness within their heart, within their mind, and how they feel and how they yearn for their parents, and what they would do if they only had a second chance to be with their family. So it's very important for us to appreciate all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the dunya, after iman, after the faith, there is nothing other greater than the gift of parents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon all of mankind, to have parents. And those people who were brought up in orphanages, those people who were single mothers or single fathers or single children, they will realize and appreciate the importance of having a family. But coming to today's inshallah discussion, we will discuss briefly the importance of the mother's role, and also how we should appreciate how merciful our mothers are towards us all in all of our stages in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He states, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ 30 شَهْرًا حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَرْبَعَ سِنِينَ سَنَةً. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions that we have enjoined unto insan that every single human being has a parent, whether you acknowledge them or not. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, unto every single human being we have enjoined and told him and instructed him to be good, to be dutiful, and to be respectful towards his parents. Because the parents are the reason why you have come into the dunya. But at the beginning of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala collectively talks about parents, walidain, walid and walida, the mother and the father. But within this verse, immediately after mentioning that be dutiful and obedient towards your parents, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly talks about the responsibility towards your mother, because it is she who carried you in her womb. It is she who brought you into this dunya. It is she who sacrificed her days and her nights, her food, everything that she did, she sacrificed for your sake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in this verse and mentions that only when man reaches the age of 40, then he truly reflects and appreciates the sacrifices that his mother and his father made for him. And then he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْهِ. Then he calls out to his Lord and says, O my Lord, enable me to be grateful towards you and also to be grateful towards my parents who brought me up, who did so much for me. So up until the age of 40, yes, you may have some form of appreciation, some form of love and affection and compassion towards your parents, but that truly seeps in when you yourself become, you know, a proper parent. And it takes time for that to happen, for you to actually appreciate that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these various stages in the life of a human being and when he truly appreciates his parents. So, whilst they are alive, it's important for us to reflect and to appreciate every single moment that we have with them. It's too little too late for you to say sorry to them, you know, when they're on their deathbed, or sorry to them when you have caused them harm all your life. Now is the time for you to change. Now is the time for you to reflect and for you to get closer to them. Remember, just from today's khutbah, it is the month of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is qareeb and he listens to your du'as. At the same time, this is the month for you to get closer towards your parents, because the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes via your parents. And it is through the mercy of the mother that you actually receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine if she wasn't merciful to you when you were young, when you were crying for food, when you were crying for milk, when you were crying when you were cold, when you were crying when you had all of these needs. If she was not merciful towards you and she said, go and do it yourself, then what would you have done? Where would you have gone? What would you have achieved in your life? So to truly appreciate your parents, you need to reflect upon the Quran and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the great status of our women, of our mothers. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about women 119 times. Subhanallah. Imagine this. When you repeat something once or twice or thrice, then it reminds you of the significance and the importance. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is mentioning the mother 119 times, then it shows how important mothers are in the life of every single one of us. So therefore, don't just overlook your mothers and say, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She's from a different culture. We're living in a fast-paced society in the 21st century. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She knows much more than you. She may not know the language as good as you know, or may not be educated as much as you are, but she has more experience. She has that raham, that mercy within her heart that you will never be able to achieve until you actually become a mother or a father, or late into your life you'll actually appreciate these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just reflecting upon the word which comes in the Quran, as I mentioned, 119 times in different ways and forms. And it's important for us to appreciate this beautiful word, even though it's just two letters, Hamza and Meem, and we say Ummi, i.e. my mother, in Arabic. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he reminds us that it is your mother who has brought you into this dunya, and therefore you need to be grateful to your mother. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who mentions in the Quran that be grateful to me, anishkur li wali wali day. Be grateful to me, then immediately he says, then also be grateful to your mothers. And the reason why I will mention mothers again and again in place of walidain is because there's a reason for that. And those people who are studying the Arabic language will understand this and appreciate this. In the Arabic language, they have a beautiful way of describing different things just by using one word. And I'll give you a simple example. In fiqh or in other aspects of the Islamic tradition, you have sahibain. Sahibain generally basically means two companions. Sahib is one, sahibain is two, this is how the Arabics, you know, the Arabs explain something, that they're two companions. And similarly, hasanain, the two beautiful, the two handsome ones. And similarly, you have other ones, you have shaykhain, you know, the two sheikhs, the two grand teachers. So although on its own, linguistically, it just basically means two people, just like in the Arabic, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about two people, the walid and the walida. Walidain becomes the parents. But at the same time, when you look into it and you actually look at the real definition, you'll find out that the sahibain is actually referring to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Umar, or sahibain in terms of the fiqh is relating to the Imam Abu Yusuf and obviously Imam Muhammad, and shaykhain as well is specific specifically relating to particular scholars and particular people and methodologies. So whilst it has a general meaning, it also has a specific meaning as well. So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just used the word generally, walidain, for both parents, but his intention behind it is actually specifically, more specifically related to the mother. Because when you see and you go through all of the ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the majority of the ahadith are related to the mother. Do this towards your mother, be dutiful towards your mother, be compassionate towards your mother. Yes, there are some ahadith also related to the father, because the father has a great status as well. But the overwhelming ahadith relate to the mother, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually was trying to intend, because the mother is the center of mercy. It is the epicenter of mercy, and the mother is the one who constructs a family, the one who builds a community, the one who builds a society. So our devotion and our love and affection needs to be more towards the mother. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he does mention walidain, but his intention behind that is actually more related to the mother. So to take care of your mother. But from the word mother, other words come out as well. From we have imam. So is the mother, is the person or the individual who takes care of you, who provides you with nourishment, with sustenance, and gives you that protection. But from comes imam, which is the person who gives you leadership, the person who leads you, the person whether in the masjid or the person outside in your community. So without your mother, you would not have the imams, because it is the mother who creates the leaders. She is the one who educates the people at home, educates her children at home, and they become leaders in the future. So it is not, if it was not for the mother, then you would not have the imams. And similarly, if it was not for the mother, you would not have an ummah. And ummah comes from the word mother. Ummah is nation. Ummah is community. And it is not for the mother reproducing, creating, taking care of the children and protecting the children, you would not have a community. You would not have a family, and neither would you actually have a community as well. So from the mother itself, there are so many things that come out of the mother. Metaphorically speaking, you have leaders, you have nations, you have communities, you have a guide. All of these are coming from and via the mother because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is embedded within her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala furthermore in the Quran reminds us again and again, wa'abud rabbak, that worship me. This is a direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْءٍ, and don't associate a partner with me whatsoever. Then immediately after that, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and then towards your parents, make sure that you are dutiful and you are excellent in your behavior. We can be excellent sometimes on and off. You know, when your mood is good and when you've had a nice day, or your mom's made your favorite food and you smile at her and you hug her and then you kiss her, and then you are excellent towards her in that particular behavior, or just maybe perhaps on Mother's Day or when it's her birthday or when it's her anniversary. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, always worship me. Yes? Because you always have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something that you do on and off once a year, once a month. You are constantly worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are constantly avoiding shirk. This is a command of Allah, and this a command follows similarly towards your parents as well. You have to constantly be excellent towards your parents. Constantly be par excellence in your behavior towards your parents as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in other verses of the Quran mentions, وَقَدَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانٍ. So again and again, in all of these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illustrates the importance of taking care of your parents, loving your parents, cherishing your parents. And in that other verse, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, that as children, no matter how old you may become, you may become parents yourself, you may become grandparents yourself, but as long as your parents are alive, you are not permitted to even say uff to your parents. And uff is something which is completely insignificant to us, because we say uff all the time. Uff is basically me rejecting them, denying them, ignoring them, being arrogant towards them, stubborn towards them, and saying no to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, you can't even say this. You can't even be arrogant or stubborn towards them or say uff to them or walk away or turn around away from your parents. And you must always say, Always be good to them in your speech and being kind in your actions, and you can never harm them in any particular way. So try to reflect in your life. You know, you may be 30, you may be 20, you may be 50, no matter how old you are, try to reflect on all of those moments when you have, you know, frowned at your mother, when you have shouted at your mother, when you have screamed towards your mother, when you have said off to your mother, when you have said no to your mother. Know that every single time you have done that, you have disobeyed a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have disobeyed your parents, and you've also disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you take away from your parents from the dunya, what else are you left with? Koi bhi apna nahi hai. After your parents, even your own brothers and sisters, they will do you over. It is only truly your parents who unconditionally love you and cherish you and support you. So if you do away with your parents, you've also pushed away Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where will you go? Who will you turn to? Where will you seek and find the mercy? Therefore, appreciate your parents whilst they are alive and make sure that you are there for them. In their khushi is your khushi. Even though you may not like to do something, you may not like a particular food, may not like a particular thing or activity that they do, but to keep their heart, to keep them happy and to keep a smile on their face, still do those things. Because every time they smile, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with you. Every time they say a simple dua that they are happy with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you infinite blessings in the dunya and also in the hereafter. So coming back to the first 10 days of Ramadan, which are the days of mercy and nights of mercy, we cannot survive without the mercy of our parents. But most importantly, we cannot survive without the main source of mercy within our lives, which is the mercy of our mother. So it's very important for us to emphasize the importance of her role and to also remind her how much we appreciate her, not just annually or monthly or weekly, but every time you go and you see her. You should never dukana her. Dil basically means you should never upset her in any way or form. Even though you may not like the food, even though she may not have cooked the food or many other things, cannot upset her in any way or form. By upsetting her, you're actually upsetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a principle of love, a principle of appreciation towards your mother must be very, very integral in every single part of your life. So more important than titles of being a doctor, of being a president, of being a leader, of being a CEO or anything else, these titles are insignificant. The greatest title that a person can be bestowed with in the dunya is the title of a mother. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that great title to her, that great maqam to her, that if she is not razi, razi basically means she is not happy, if she is not content with her children, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not admit the children into Jannah. Because they disobeyed her, they did not make her content. Similarly, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not happy with you, how can you ever go into the gardens of paradise? So the happiness, the contentment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is connected to your parents. So if you make your parents happy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy. And if your parents are not happy with you, and they do not approve of your actions or your deeds, then similarly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also disapprove of your deeds as well. So it's important for us to try to make them happy in all Sharia compliant matters and make sure that they are, you know, happy with us in everything that we do as much as possible, whether that's culturally, whether that's socially, and more importantly, especially religiously as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you know in the Quran, He reminds us He is Ar-Rahman and He is Ar-Rahim. And these are the two beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is from the Rahm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have the Rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has embedded within the mother. It's not something that we can just take out. Because the West has tried to do that. The West have tried to make men and women equal and say, women go out and you work, you do this and you do that. Let's have unisex toys, let's have unisex toilets and do all of these things. But you can see there's a backlash that women, you know, because they're going against their fitrat, against the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them, then there has been a big backlash on how they have reacted and how this has an impact on society as well. So the men have their role of being matched macho, of being a disciplinary at certain points in their life, and be authoritarian. And women have their own fitrat, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them. And this is the fitrat of mercy. This is the fitrat of compassion. So when you see women who are staunch, who are harsh, who are sturdy, and who are very, very, you know, difficult to deal with, then they are actually going against their fitrat, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them with mercy within their heart, with mercy within their minds, and they need to embrace that. And you as parents, you as children, you as siblings, you as cousins and families need to encourage that within your mothers as well. We are seeing more and more mothers being more and more like men, and the men are becoming more and more like women. Everybody needs to fulfill their roles within the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only sent one portion of His mercy into the dunya. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions in a beautiful hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 100 portions of mercy, even though the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited. But just for you to understand and grasp the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent one portion of His mercy into the dunya, and all of that portion of mercy has been given to the mother, because it is the mother who takes care of the child, it is the mother who takes care of the family, it is the mother who takes care of the community and the society. She takes care of the husband, she takes care of her own parents, of her in-laws and various other members as well. So the majority of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one portion of mercy has been given, granted to the mother within the dunya. And therefore we see how compassionate they are, how loving they are. We swear at them, we shout at them, we scream at them, sometimes we even hit them, we ignore them, we don't talk to them for weeks and months on end, and we leave them and we walk away and we disown them. But the mother will always love you, she will always yearn for you, she will always desire you, and when you come to them, she will always forgive you, because this is the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the heart of the woman, of the mother. But coming back to the hadith, Prophet ﷺ mentioned one portion of mercy has been given to the dunya, and that has been taken by the mother. 99 portions of mercy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved for the day of Qiyamah. Because every single one of us, we will need the rahmah, we will need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will really show the 99 portions of mercy, when He will forgive us for our shortcomings, for our failings. But at least in the dunya, try to achieve that one portion of mercy in the dunya. And if you cannot achieve that one portion of mercy in the dunya, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deny you the portion of mercy in the hereafter as well. So you need to make sure that you become a recipient of that mercy in the dunya, in order for you to get that in the hereafter. And to understand and appreciate that, the Prophet ﷺ gives us a beautiful hadith that a mother can never bear the scorching heat of the sun on her child. So if there's a child and there is no parda, there is no roof, there's nothing protecting the child, and it is a hot summer's day, a mother cannot bear that, and she will cover herself over her child just to protect her child. And we see that in the story of Sayyidah Hajar, when she's running back and forth trying to protect her child, take care of her child. And we see that in other stories of Musa alayhi salam's mother as well. Constantly, again and again, we see the motherhood of the mother taking care of the children. Coming back to the hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that the mother cannot bear the scorching heat on her child, and therefore she will cover the child and she will protect the child from any harm, especially the harm of any fire touching the child. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam continues to say that if this is the mercy of the mother, then the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far greater. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually throw you into the fire of hell, when His mercy is far greater than any mother? So we need to try to find and understand the mercy of our mothers, in order to understand the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in many ahadith and all the athar of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, of athar of the sahaba ikram, we learn that Awais al-Qarni, even though he wasn't able to see and meet the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the reason why he wasn't able to meet him, because he was being dutiful towards his mother. His mother was very, very elderly, and she was very, very sick, and he stayed behind to take care of his mother. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told the Sahaba ikram, told Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Faruq, that when you meet this man from Qarn, that's why we call him Uwais al-Qarni, when you meet this man, then make sure that you ask him to do a dua for you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will directly and automatically accept his dua. And the Sahaba Ikram asked, well, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his dua? And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam replied, because he is dutiful towards his mother. He took care of his mother when she needed him. Therefore, whatever dua that he makes as an obedient son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that dua. So look at the amount of mercy, the amount of barakah that you can receive as an individual, as a son, as a daughter, only if you are obedient and dutiful towards your mother. Imagine whatever you ask for, whatever you ask for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala automatically granting and accepting your dua. How can you do that? How can you achieve that? Become dutiful towards your mother, become dutiful towards your parents, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept all of your du'as. This is that kissa of Awais al-Qarni. And another kissa of Abdullah ibn Umar, you know, he was the son of Sayyidina Umar Farooq. The Prophet, the hadith is mentioned that he saw a man from Yemen, and he was doing tawaf with his mother on his back. Tawaf with his mother on his back. And it's not an easy thing to do tawaf with your mother on your back, and especially doing Safa and Marwa and all of the other actions of Umrah as well. So after he has completed the tawaf, he goes to Sayyidina Umar and he mentions that, look, you know, I have become dutiful towards my mother. I have taken her on my back and I have carried her more than she has carried me. More than she has carried me. To that, Sayyidina Umar Farooq replied, you haven't even repaid her for one contraction that she had when she was giving birth to you. You may have brought her from Yemen all the way here on your shoulder. You may have done the tawaf and the safa and marwa and all of these things with her on your shoulders and on your back, but you haven't even repaid one contraction that she suffered when she was giving birth to you. So no matter how much you do, no matter how much money you give to your parents, no matter how much you smile to your parents and do all of these things, don't think you've done justice. Don't think that you've actually completed the rights of your mother or the rights of your father. You must continuously, just the way you continuously worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must also continuously make sure that you take care of your parents. You are dutiful towards your parents as well. So your mothers, They are more merciful to you than the son that we have. Without the son, we would have no growth on the dunya. They are more merciful to you than the moon. They are more merciful to you than the water, than the air that we breathe. And but we need to appreciate and understand this mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, you know, for in this dunya. So there's lots of qualities that within of the mother that we have discussed so far. But as individuals, we need to make sure that we nurture all of these things within our daughters and within our families. If you are constantly pushing your wife down, then your children, when they grow up, they won't appreciate mothers either, and they won't respect women either. So you as a father, you as a son, you as an individual, as a human being, need to make sure you appreciate your wife, you appreciate your sisters, you appreciate your khalas, you appreciate your pupus, and most importantly, you appreciate, love and cherish your mothers. When you do that, then other people will also appreciate your parents as well. If you yourself are screaming and shouting in front of your mother, and onlookers, strangers see you screaming and shouting, then they will also think, "Indi koi okati koni, koi izzati koni," and they won't respect your parents either. Similarly, your own children won't respect your wife because you don't respect your wife. So we need to make sure that we encourage these qualities from a young age in our homes, in our family, so that when the child grows up, when the daughter grows up, she realizes how merciful she is. She realizes how much respect she is receiving because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then she becomes the merciful towards her children. She becomes merciful towards her husband and merciful in her society as well. A mother can very, very easily abandon her children. And this is what we are seeing in our day and age. Mothers are abandoning their children. They're pushing them to the side and say, I don't have time for you. I have to work. I have to socialize. I have to do this. I have to do that. This is, we see mothers are being taken away further and further away from the mercy that is embedded within them. And that mercy is being taken out from them, from their hearts and from their minds. We have been sent here by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been sent here on a mission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to replace the mercy that has been lost in mankind. When mercy was lost in the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam as وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And then he brought together the ties of kingship. He brought together those communities. He brought together those tribes. He reinstated that mercy, that love and respect that every single person should have for their mothers, for their daughters. And slowly we see this being eroded away again from our families, that we are less and less yes, respecting our mothers, taking care of our mothers, and we need to make sure that we are maintaining the respect and the love and affection for our mothers. I'll give you a simple example from the life of Sayyidina Dawood and Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, how much mothers actually love and appreciate their children and cherish their children. There was a wolf which came once and he took away one child. There were two mothers who were sitting and a wolf came and it took away one of the child, and one of the child obviously was killed. So the two mothers, they obviously both wanted the child, and they said, no, this is my child. The other one said, no, this is my child, even though the mother knew whose child it actually is. So they went to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam and they said, look, you know, this is my child. They didn't have DNA testing at that time, and you know, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have informed Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, but the qissa is important for us to understand the moral of the story. So two mothers, one mother has lost her son or daughter, and they go to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam and they say, look, you judge between us, this is my son. And then they were very, very convincing in their arguments. And then Dawood alayhi salam, he says, fine, this son or this daughter will go to this particular mother. But then the argument and the debate continued until it reached Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. Remember, Sulaiman alayhi salam was also a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the son of Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam. So Sulaiman alayhi salam, he thought of a very, very beautiful way and a simple way of establishing who the actual mother is of that child. So he said to both of the mothers, we will cut up the child in half. You can take one half of the child, you can take the other half of the child. Immediately when Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam said that, the original mother, the biological mother, said, no, I don't want the child anymore, you give the child to that other mother. This is the rahmah. This is the rahmah of the mother, and it always comes out that you may have done so many wrong things to your mother, but when the time comes for her to protect you, when the time comes for her to take care of you, to support you, she will always sacrifice her own well-being, her own time, her own health, everything that she has, she will sacrifice it for you, to protect you, to take care of you. And this is exactly what happened. The original mother said, no, I don't want that child anymore, you give the child to them, because she couldn't bear her son or her daughter to be cut up into two. She said no. As soon as that happened, Sulaiman alayhi salam said, that is the original mother, you give the child to that mother, because only a mother would sacrifice, you know, herself and not allow her child to fall to any particular harm. So don't just think that, you know, what has my mom ever done for me, because this is what children say. And we turn around and we say that to our mothers when we're 20. Apna hosh nahi hai, when we're 20, 25 or 15, we say, what have you ever done for us? And then we count the physical things. How many times I asked you to buy me this, you never bought me this. You never bought me this clothes. You never bought me this this toy. You never took me here. You never did this. You never did that. These are the things that we count, which are all materialistic. But we fail to see all of the sacrifices that they did, all of the sleepless nights where they stayed up so that you could sleep peacefully, when they would sleep on the wet side of the bed so that you could sleep on the dry side of the bed, during Ramadan when they were fasting but you were hungry, and they would be there constantly feeding you and taking care of you, when there was little food at home and they would not eat themselves for days and they would make sure that you eat, when they had no money themselves or they had no clothes themselves, they would rip off their clothes and make sure that you had enough clothes to protect yourself, and protect yourself from the winter and also protect yourself from the heat as well. These are the sacrifices that you don't see, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, only when you reach a certain age, at the age of 40, then you reflect, then you realize, ki ma ki mamta, how much mercy, how much love and affection and the sacrifices did my mother actually do for me. My mother always used to say to me, when you become a parent, and how much sacrifices you have to make. I have a child now, and I realize that I would do everything for her. I would sell myself, I would sell my wealth, whatever I have and my possessions, I would do that for the happiness, for the joy, and for the protection of my child. But 5 years ago, I would never appreciate that. And mothers, you know, words always come true, because they have gone through those stages, and you don't see it, and you think you know better, but when you actually are in that stage, then you appreciate and you reflect. That is why when you return back home now, and especially when I return back home now, I always make sure I kiss my mother's hand and her feet, because no matter how much appreciation you show, you can never repay the sacrifices of your mother. And this is the bare minimum that we can do. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam always, you know, would instruct the Sahaba ikram to respect adore, cherish their parents, to kiss their hands, to kiss their feet. Why? Because Jannah can only be found in the obedience of your mother, can only be found in the feet of your mother. This is where Jannah can be found. So be regular in your duties towards your mother. Even if you look at your mother lovingly, look at your mother, look at your father lovingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the complete sawab of a hajj, the complete sawab of an umrah, if you do that lovingly and affectionately. Imagine the things that they have done. Try to just reflect and appreciate all of their sacrifices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and again talks about mothers, of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Musa alayhi salam's mother that when the time comes, throw Musa into the river Nile. وَأُوحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. That, you know, we revealed to Musa alayhi salam's mother that, you know, suckle him as much as you can, breastfeed him, but when the time comes and you fear, then throw him into the river. It's not easy for a mother. It's not easy for a mother to let go of her child, but she still did that because the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. So you may not be able to do things because you think, why should I do this? I've become so successful. I shouldn't have to bow down to my mother. Shouldn't have to listen to this. How dare my mother say this to me? How dare she say that to me? You don't know how long they are here for in the dunya. You don't know when they will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Appreciate the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via your mothers and cherish them. Take care of them. Spend time with them every day. Try to make sure you do iftari with them. If you can't do iftari with them, at least every day make sure you call them to see them how they are. You may not have anything to talk about, but as soon as you call, your mother will feel like, yes, my putter, my beta, my beti, she has called me, they have called me. Yes, that connection is still alive. But the further and further away you go from your mother, your mother's connection will not weaken, your connection will weaken with your mother, and you will be going further away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because you are going away from the mercy of your mother. So remember, the fitrat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the mothers with is a fitrat of mercy, the fitrat of compassion, the fitrat of love, affection, and undivided love and unconditional love for their child. And you can only appreciate that when you become a mother, when you become a father, and when you have children yourself, and then you'll say, I wish I did this for my mother. I wish I did this, but it will be too little too late. That is why learn from the Quran, learn from the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at how he used to love and show his love and affection towards his wet nurse, Sayyidah Halima. Halima Sadia, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stand up for her, how he would take off his chadar mubarak, place it on the floor, and he would make her sit down on his chadar mubarak, and he would spend huge amount of time with her to appreciate the time that she spent when she was suckling him and she was taking care of him as a wet nurse. This is the love and affection that he showed. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to see his mother, he cried and cried and cried because he realized, you know, she was no longer there in his life. So appreciate your mothers whilst you are here. Know that they are an infinite source of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are taken away from this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also remove you from His mercy on the day of Qiyamah. So appreciate them, cherish them, love them, and know that Jannah can only be achieved with the obedience, with the shukr, with the affection and love for your mothers, and it can be achieved in under their feet, i.e. in terms of serving them, gaining Jannah by their servitude. There was one, I'll give you one last hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. There was a sahabi who was married and he had children. He had children, but he still had a duty, obviously, to take care of his mother, and his mother was quite elderly. So what he would do, he would bring fruit home, he would bring food home, bring all of these nice things home, but he would not share it with his mother. Why? Because obviously he wants to share it with his wife. Bibi nu khush karna. He wanted to share it with his children. So he would share all of the good things with his wife and his children, and he would give the bache kuche stuff, you know, the leftovers, to his mother. He wouldn't show love and affection and mercy towards his mother. As a result of that, the mother became very, very angry and very, very upset towards her son. Obviously, who wouldn't? You know, the child that you have brought up all your life, the child that you have sacrificed so much for, now the time comes for them to take care of you and they are ignoring you. So she became very, very upset. So this sahabi, he unfortunately, he fell ill, suddenly fell ill. When he fell ill, what did the Sahaba do? They went to go and they visit that Sahabi and they encouraged him to say the kalima, which every person should be encouraged to say when you think that you're about to pass away, then passively standing next to the shoulder of your friend, whoever is there, then you should say and recite the kalima saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So this is a Sahabi who has seen the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi sallam, who is a companion of the Prophet alayhi sallatu wasalam, who believes in oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is seeing and living amongst the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But when the Sahaba go to him and they encourage him and they repeat the kalima, he is unable to repeat the kalima. Imagine this, all your life and before you, you're living in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but you can't actually repeat and say the kalima, which is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So the Sahaba ikram, they're very worried. They think, what's happening? What's wrong? They don't want him to die, you know, as a non-Muslim. So they immediately, they go to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and they explain this, that we've gone to such and such Sahabi and we're encouraging him to say the kalima, but he can't actually utter any of those words. He's trying to, but he can't actually utter any of those words. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the first thing Prophet alayhi wa sallam asks, does he have a mother? And they reply, yes, he has a mother. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, then I will go to her to see her. And the Sahaba Kiram said, no, we will tell her to come to you. So in between that time, the message had already reached that mother that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam wants to come and meet you. And she automatically came to meet the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. Imagine, look, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam going to meet that mother. He's spent taking out of his time and effort to meet that mother. This is how much he appreciated, loved and cherished women and appreciate the role of women as well. But before him actually going there, the mother actually comes into the presence, to the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam asks her, are you not happy with your son? And she says, no, I am not happy with my son. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam at that time, he orders and instructs all of the Sahaba. He says, go and gather firewood, lakriyan. Gather firewood, gather branches so that we can put all of these branches together, all of the firewood together so that we can burn this guy. That's a Sahabi. That's a person who said the kalma during his lifetime. He's living amongst the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam. There's no doubt about his iman whatsoever. But in spite of that, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam is saying, gather the firewood to the Sahaba ikram. Gather the firewood so that we can burn him. It is better for him to burn in the fire of the dunya than for him to burn in the fire of the hereafter. Why? Because he has disobeyed his mother. He has hurt his mother. He has not appreciated his mother and she is upset with him. This is what the Prophet ﷺ ordered. And as soon as the Prophet ﷺ said that, the rahmah, the mamta of the mother woke up. And she says, no. Even though he had done so many bad things to her, she said, no, I forgive my son. As soon as she said that, that same Sahabi who was disobedient to his mother, on his tongue, on his lips came, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and he passed away. Imagine if he had not said the kalima and he had been burnt in the dunya, what his azah would have been in the hereafter. So always appreciate your mothers. You may do so many wrongs to them, but they will still love you, they will still cherish you, and they will still forgive you. Therefore, you must forgive them for whatever big things they say, whatever small things they say. After all, they are still human. They can make mistakes as well, but as a son, it is your duty, as a daughter, it is your duty to forgive them and overlook them, because their mercy has always been forgiving you for all of your transgressions, for all of your mistakes as well. So this is the beautiful story of the Sahaba are about to be burned, that other Sahabi. Why? Because he was disobedient to his mother and unable to recite the kalima. But as soon as the mother comes and says, no, I forgive him, I don't want any harm to come to him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away his soul and he is able to say the kalima and he returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So appreciate your mothers, cherish your mothers as long as they are alive, and never say off to them, never deny them, never hurt them physically, emotionally, psychologically. Always obey them in all matters of sharia and try to obey them as much as you can in terms of social aspects and cultural aspects as well. Where their happiness is, it is the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you become obedient to them, you're obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah al-Aziz, we will continue with the responsibilities and duties of the mother as well. But I wanted just to remind everybody the importance and the greatness of our mothers, and to make sure that we appreciate them in these blessed days and nights of Ramadan. Wa qul qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum, jazakumullahu khairan.